Good morning. It's time for the Clay County Corner, coming to you live from the historic Clay County Courthouse in Salina, Tennessee. For the next hour, the Clay County Corner will inform you of what's happening in our community. Sit back and enjoy the program.
Macon Bank and Trust offers a new and better checking account with free e-checking. Enroll for e-statements to avoid a $6 monthly minimum balance charge and enjoy free ATM cash withdrawals at some ATMs across the nation. Free online banking and mobile banking with mobile deposit. Free online bill pay, MasterCard debit card, and 50 free checks at opening. Talk e-checks with us today. Macon Bank and Trust, member FDIC, and equal housing lender. Come grow with us. Third-party data or messaging fees may apply.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness. With a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists, they serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skilled, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
I'd like to take this opportunity to welcome everyone in here this morning. It's great to be here each Thursday morning at 9 a.m. in the morning. And it's a bright, sunshiny morning this morning. Looks like we're not going to have any rain for a little while. I know we've had plenty of that for a day or two. And, of course, our thoughts and prayers go out to all the folks over there in Monroe County who had the tornado touchdown the other morning. And hopefully we won't have any more of that around here for a while. But we are survivors in this area. We're getting kind of used to this. It's getting to be more of an annual type thing for us. But it's never something that doesn't surprise us and doesn't bring us back down to earth sometimes. But with that said, like I said, it's a pleasure being here this morning here on WVFBFM 101.5 Kicks Country. Still waiting for my first guest to get here. Ms. Rhonda Elam's going to come in, and we're going to talk about the Tuckasee archery things. Of course, we've got a whole bunch of things we can do while we're waiting on her, try to make contact with her. But I know that we enjoy being able to do this each Thursday morning, and this program does come to you through the auspices of the 3-Star program and the Clay County Chamber of Commerce, and of course all the great sponsors that help sponsor this. And we appreciate you tuning in. And then, like I said, we're here at 9 a.m. live and in living color at this time. And then we're on rebroadcast this evening at 6 o'clock. And then also these shows are streamed on the Del Hollow Horizon website. And we do occasionally check to make sure that those are making it in with the great handy-dandy communications we have today. These things are kind of, sometimes we take them for granted, and sometimes they don't work exactly like they're supposed to. But we checked the other day, and all the programs are now streamed there as they should be. So if you'd like to listen to it that way, you can. And we got a whole bunch of things going on in and around Clay County here. And we'll be back in just a few minutes. We have some birthdays and anniversaries for today. And we'll take care of those, give away one of those delicious ice cream cakes. And we will continue to bring this show to you here each Thursday morning at 9 o'clock. And with that, we'll take a little short break, and we'll be right back with you.
Identity theft is the fastest growing crime in America, and fraud is a threat to all of us. That's why Macon Bank and Trust SecureLock makes great sense. This easy-to-use mobile app allows you to protect your debit card, turning it on and off as needed, and you can customize your card by setting certain permissions. Want to know more about how to protect yourself and your money? Then talk with us today. Macon Bank and Trust, member FDIC and equal housing lender. Come grow with us.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness. With a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists, they serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skilled, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
Tri-County Electric offers our member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
If you are sick with COVID-19 or think you might have it, take steps to help protect other people from getting sick. Stay home except to get medical care. Call the doctor before visiting. Separate yourself from others who live with you. Wear a mask to protect others. Cover your coughs and sneezes with a tissue and clean your hands right away. Avoid sharing items with other people in your home. This includes things like towels and bedding. Be sure dishes are washed in hot water or the dishwasher before anyone else uses them. Stay aware of how you feel. If you start to have difficulty breathing, or if you're worried about your health, call your doctor. For more tips, visit cdc.gov.
Let's face it, we are not the most patient people on earth. We've become accustomed to having instant solutions to most any need. Macon Bank and Trust now offers an instant solution for your spending needs with Card at Once, an instant issue MasterCard debit card. Come in, open your account, and walk out with your new debit card. No waiting. Macon Bank and Trust, member FDIC and equal housing lender. Come grow with us.
Welcome back, everyone. We're going to do a little, bye broadcast this morning. Rhonda is going to go over to WTKY in Tompkinsville, and she's going to be over there, and I'm going to be over here. But until we get that going, we've got a whole bunch of things this morning, of course, to talk about. As I said, we have got stuff going on here. I know one thing that I want to talk about is high school athletics that are going on right now, and that is that we have, I guess, starting today, our district tournaments in softball and baseball. I think our boys' baseball team is playing maybe down in Gordonsville, where their site is, and I'm not sure where the girls' softball tournament is. They may be playing at home today in the first round. If they do, that would be like a 5 o'clock starting time over at the high school today. And let's see, we have just completed the district championship in tennis, and we have a pair of young ladies that won first and second place in the district in tennis in doubles, Miss Sophie Westmoreland and Gladys Ambrosia won the doubles and in District 6A here at TLSAA Tennis, and in second place was Hannah Raines and Kaylee Riddle. So we'd like to do a big shout out for those young ladies. So so we've got that going on here. And let's see, we've got Clay County Fair is getting ready to crank up here the first of next month. And I know next week we were going to have a representative from the fair that's going to be talking about the fairest of the fair. Of course, we didn't have our fair last year, but we have got the schedule is now set up for and. It looks a little bit like this here. It'll open up on Friday, May the 21st, with the Clay County Fairest of the Fair. The beginning at 5 o'clock, they will have on the 21st. They'll have the first of the fair rehearsal and registration. And we have a the Clay County Fair website, which is claycountytnfair.org, which has all this information on it. And so just remodeled that website, so go on there and take a look at that. It gives you basic information about the fair, the history of the fair, things like that. But looking on down through here, the actual beauty pageant itself will be Saturday, May the 22nd, and then that evening at 3 p.m., the first of the fair contest will take place. And then another prelim to the fair, we'll have the Tennessee Knucklers Marble Tournament down at the Marble Yard at the fairgrounds. And this is bring your own partner, and there is a little entry fee for that. So keep that in mind, those two things. And then the fair itself will open up on Tuesday, June the 1st. And there's all kinds of activities that will be taking place with the fair. And as I said, you can go to, right now you can go to Clay County Fair, Clay County TN Fair. Make sure you put that TN in there because it'll take you to Clay County, Missouri or somewhere or another. But claycountytnfair.org, and you can click on schedule, that brings up the schedule. Like I said, all the information there about the fair that we have right now. So take a look at that and be ready for the fair. We'll be back with that after a year's absence. And there's activities going on every night. And I'm not sure about who's doing the midway this year, but I know we have lots and lots of special activities. And let's see. All right. Is she on the microphone?
I'm here.
Rhonda.
Good morning. How are you?
How are you this morning?
We are running as usual. I'm sorry. This week just keep giving. We keep waiting each day. We go from tornadoes to floods to we'll see what today brings for us.
Okay. Now, Rhonda, I have got a whole bunch of things here that we're looking at, and I guess it's been a while since we've been able to talk to you, but I do know that the archery group y'all haven't slowed down a whole lot during the pandemic. I think since you've been outside with a lot of things, you want to fill the folks in on kind of what it's been like this last year or so for you all with the Tuckasee group, some of the things that you've been doing, some of the things that are coming up.
Absolutely. Yeah, we slowed down for just a little bit back in March. Of course, everything pretty much slowed down there for a little while. This fall, when we got ready to start back with indoor, we actually joined a new organization, kind of formed a new kids organization to where we had a little more leeway on being able to have our events and not have to follow some of the national guidelines that were a whole lot more restrictive. We thought our numbers would probably go down, but we have actually increased. We're up to 54 kids on our roster right now. So we've actually moved from up about 10 or 12 kids. So we're traveling. Our 3D season kicks off actually this weekend. Our kids will travel to Cleveland, Tennessee to shoot at No Limits Archery. And we run three different seasons, indoor, 3D, which is the life-size animals that you're familiar with at Donaldson Park. And then there's also an outdoor field, which kind of looks like what you see in the Olympics. But we start 3D this week, and actually, next week, we had one shoot at Donaldson already this year in March. We have another 3D shoot this weekend, or this coming next weekend, the 14th, 15th, in Solana. But the big news is we have been granted two state tournaments that will happen on back-to-back weekends in Solana, and those will be in July, so everybody get ready. You won't be able to get in a restaurant anywhere. The rentals are already gone, and we'll probably have 200 to 300 people.
Okay, now, of course, the status of the park here has changed a little bit. We have the city of Solana now has leased that, and it hadn't changed a whole lot of the things going on there, but it has kind of loosened up some things. And we're really proud of that, and we're proud of the fact that the Tuckasee Archery Group is using this, and it's gaining some great statewide and region-wide good news for the park, hasn't it?
Absolutely. We Miss Tanya's been fantastic to work with. Anything we've asked for, she's been willing to work with us on. Those state dates, we've got the 9th through the 11th. We will have the kids organization coming in. Probably have a couple hundred people in then. A couple hundred shooters brings about 200 to 400 adults too with them. So you're looking 500 or 600 kids or people in the community. But the next weekend is the statewide Tennessee ASA shootout, and that is our ASA state championship. And that actually includes all ages. I think there's a up goes to a there's a little man that's 83 years old that competes every year. So it's everybody from 5 and 6 year olds all the way up to those a little more seasoned, but we should have between 200 and 300 shooters, so another 500 or 600 people in that weekend as well.
Okay, now let's go back and maybe do a little bit of history, how this club got started, and also let's talk a little bit about the progress that has been made in this, and also a very, very important thing is. I know that most of these shooters are high school and younger, but this Tuckasee and the archery, the 3D archery, and it has provided some great college opportunities in the past few years.
It sure has, and I tell everybody right now, 100% of the kids that graduate from high school that have shot on Tuckasee have an opportunity to receive college scholarships. Not many other sports can go 100%. We actually, two of our three seniors will be continuing their college careers at a collegiate level this year, one with Union College in UPike in Pikeville, Kentucky, and then the other one will be, of course, going to Lindsey Wilson with my husband, Mark. Our third senior, we would love to get him on, but I believe he's going to choose to go to a land-grant school to get a degree, the program that's not offered at an archery school. But 100% of our kids, and actually I was working this morning with a kid, we're talking, anywhere from $20,000 to $30,000 of financial aid that these schools can put together in packages to a kid that they're recruiting to come shoot a bow.
Okay, now, I'll tell you what, Robin, let's take a little short break.
Okay.
And we'll come back, and we're going to talk some more about this when we come back. But right now, we'll take a little short break, and we'll be back just in a few minutes.
Let's face it, we are not the most patient people on earth. We've become accustomed to having instant solutions to most any need. Macon Bank and Trust now offers an instant solution for your spending needs with Card at Once, an instant issue MasterCard debit card. Come in, open your account, and walk out with your new debit card. No waiting. Macon Bank and Trust, member FDIC, and equal housing lender. Come grow with us.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness, with a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists. Patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skilled, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with the coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
Tri-County Electric offers our member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is. A date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
If you are sick with COVID-19 or think you might have it, take steps to help protect other people from getting sick. Stay home except to get medical care. Call the doctor before visiting. Separate yourself from others who live with you. Wear a mask to protect others. Cover your coughs and sneezes with a tissue and clean your hands right away. Avoid sharing items with other people in your home. This includes things like towels and bedding. Be sure dishes are washed in hot water or the dishwasher before anyone else uses them. Stay aware of how you feel. If you start to have difficulty breathing, or if you are worried about your health, call your doctor. For more tips, visit cdc.gov.
Welcome back, everyone. We have Rhonda with us from up in a different place. I'm not getting to look at her this morning. I don't know. That takes away part of the beauty of the show today, I think.
But that way you're not having to suffer through it this morning.
Rhonda, with the colleges that offer scholarships, I think Pikeville, some of those places, what division, are they NAIA or like Division II, Division III, or Division whatever with NCAA?
Correct. They are NAIA schools. We do not have any NCAA division schools that have archery teams as of yet. And what is really unique about the situation is that the four powerhouse, if you want to talk about powerhouses in archery schools, the four powerhouse schools are within 3 hours of each other with UPike, Union, Cumberland, and then Lindsey Wilson College. Lindsey Wilson, where Mark coaches at, this is their third year of the program, and they are ranked second in the nation, and we're coming.
Okay, you know, Rhonda, that's kind of like, I guess, the archery now is kind of going through the process that so many sports, and we're talking about ancient sports here that have gone through the process. I know we look now at the multi-billion dollar business that women's college basketball is. And we look back at the humble beginnings of it, and it actually started at schools, you know, playing competition between women's college teams with basically NAIA level schools. And if you look back at some of the national champions to begin with were small private or church-sponsored schools that some of them are still in existence, but they're not NCAA level. But, you know, looking at what the competition that you do, and of course, I, as an old history teacher, I like to look back at, you know, the history of this thing. I know that the Tuckasee, you folks shoot what is known as a compound bow. Now, I'm going to let you talk a little bit tell folks just exactly what a compound bow is.
Well, actually, we shoot several different types. There are four different categories. We do have kids that shoot the traditional longbows, which are we call them sticks and strings. We have several kids of those, and actually, we have really grown with that in the past year or so now that we have been on the collegiate side and seeing where the need is, because a kid that is a proficient barebow shooter, we call it, is well sought after. Colleges will be beating your door down. So we have those kids shooting traditional or barebow. We have recurve, which is what you will see in the Olympics with the great big long bars with the recurve looking bows, shooting at long, long distances. And then we have the compound bows, which have a cam or idler wheel or that sort of system, which allows you to draw higher poundages, shoot faster, shoot further. And actually in the compound division, we have two different categories. The one category we call bow hunter, and that's the kids with a short stabilizers out in the front, less than 12 inches. They're shooting the pin sights, kind of the, if you think about the one that the setup that you would be sitting up in a tree bow hunting with, and we call it bow hunter.
Well, what do you do with a child or a person that comes in that's never shot a bow? Where do they start?
I start them with the regular Genesis bow that we shoot in the school programs. That bow, a five-year-old kid can pull back or you can pull back because the draw length is not specific. And we start with the basic form that we would teach with that Genesis bow would be the same form that I'm working with a five-year-old, that we're working with a college kid, that I'm working with myself trying to make myself repeat. It all starts with that same process. So usually I try to start with that. I teach them how to execute a shot. And then I let them try those four different kinds of bows. And I always joke that it's kind of like the puppy is the pound. The bow kind of picks you. And so you'll teach a kid to shoot, and you'll say, okay, let's go and try this bear bow, and then we're going to try one of these bow hunter bows, and then we're going to try one of these with all the bells and whistles. And when they shoot it and the smile comes on, you'll know which bow picked them. So whichever direction they decide they want to go, you know, if you're only interested in bow hunting, we're going to gear you right into a bow hunter setup. If you're wanting to shoot collegiately, if you're looking for financial aid and for scholarship money, all of them get scholarships, but those bare bow kids, we throw scholarships away every year because we don't have enough kids to fill those scholarships.
Okay, Rhonda, I know with the compound bow, you get the power without having to have the person doing the shooting to have a tremendous amount of arm strength and that type of thing, which is a great advantage to that, because I know, you know, once you get it drawn back, there's not that force being exerted back on the person doing
the
shooting like there is with the longbow and some of those.
That's correct.
So as you said, it makes it a lot easier for the younger kids to start. How about if we look at a couple of names here, Rhonda? Well, we all grew up, you know, we all played cowboys and Indians. We also played other things. William Tell. See, we're going way back in history. Now, what did William Tell shoot?
I tell you what, I have some kids right now that I would stand there and let shoot like William Tell, because
William Tell used a crossbow. Of course, we all know the legend of William Tell, who shot the apple.
We make fun of crossbows, right?
His son. But then, I mean, going back there also, you know, I'm looking down through here, some of the famous things that we grew up with. Robin Hood. How many of us played as a youngster, you know, playing Robin Hood, where we went out and into the woods and found us a sturdy hickory limb somewhere or another that we thought would make a great bow, and formed our own. So, you know, it's not something that once been around forever and ever. And this, the bow was, I guess, it was invented probably or developed as a couple of things. That was as a weapon and as a hunting
a tool
instrument over the years. Because you know, if we look through history, the longbow has been around forever. And even we had a superhero that fought crime and beginning in 1941 with a character known as the Green Arrow. You know, this is the period of time, the great golden age of comic books, and he fought the elements of evil with a longbow. So, you know, these things have kind of been around for forever, and it's great that now that we have this increased interest in this, you know, and I look on through here, and I find the USA Archery website. And, of course, you go there, and the first thing that pops up to you there is collegiate scholarships, about collegiate scholarships.
That's correct.
And I do know that. Are you familiar with them, Rhonda?
Actually, in the collegiate world, that is our governing body, and we have several multi-time collegiate All-Americans from USA Archery on our kids. Every member of Tuckasee Kids just about are also a member of USA Archery. We compete with that organization as well.
Okay, and I do know that this is a national organization.
Mm-hmm.
And then looking on down through, I'm going to look at this one just a second here, and that is archery at the Summer Olympics.
Yes, and actually
now,
we had one kid this
last... Where do those shooters come from, Rhonda? I mean, have you ever looked at this or anything? Wondering.
Absolutely. Those kids begin with the Junior Olympic or the Junior Olympic and the Red Team development, and we actually have two kids off of Tuckasee which are on that Junior Olympic development program right now. And we actually have one kid that from our Lindsey Wilson crew who went this past weekend and tried out for the Paralympic USA team. She will possibly be traveling to France in 2024 and competing in the Paralympics. She is a girl named Faith Oakley, who began her archery career shooting with her teeth because she only has use of one arm. But now she shoots at with a harness and competes at high levels and shoots to 54 yards with one arm.
Now, how does that harness work?
It actually sits on her shoulder, wraps around her, and it has the release mechanism anchored in the shoulder of that. So she hooks it onto the string and then uses her front arm, like they can all see me push this out, and pushes the bow away from her, which loads the bow up, and right. Then she actually will rotate her shoulder back, which causes the release to fire. And this past weekend, she was in Florida competing, and she won head-to-heads, which means you have to stand next to them, and in a certain amount of time, it's very fast-paced. So she was having to load her bow with one hand, anchor it up, and fire it off, and beat the competitor that was sitting next to her, who had two arms, that was shooting from a wheelchair because it was the Paralympic trials. But she beat somebody with her one arm during this thing. It's just crazy to watch.
It seems like her rotating her arm would move everything right. out of sight.
Right.
So it's harder to do then.
You anchor up, you hold it still, and then hers is just set up to where it's not even an eighth or a quarter of an inch movement of that shoulder back, and it fires the release.
Now, can she use that better than she can her teeth?
Yes, mainly because now she has to shoot to 54 yards. So shooting with her teeth, we could only get her... She got to 40 pounds and needed to go on up in poundage, 45 pounds.
Uh-huh.
And we wouldn't let her, because of safety-wise, go on up. So we had to move to a harness to be able to shoot those longer distances.
That's amazing that she has learned to do that and will do it.
What is really cool about her and is frustrating for us is she is so hard on herself. If she's not hanging with the other archers, if she's not making the same score as our... We've got one girl on that team that's a professional archer. If she's not making the scores that, say, Natalie's making, she feels really down on herself. And it's been a process to say, hey... It's okay.
I'm sitting here, guys, looking at the Olympic page here. I'm just reading and looking through this. I kind of looked to qualification spots in archery are allocated to the National Olympic Committees in each one of the nations.
That's correct.
And I like this one. There is no minimum age for an Olympic archer.
No, 14 last year, or last Olympics, Casey Coffle, who is out of Pennsylvania, is usually, I think she's probably the youngest one. She's 14 years old, but she's been a powerhouse, and she shoots recurve.
That tells you something, brute strength is not a requirement in this sport, is it, Rhonda?
Oh, absolutely not. The strength that you have to have is between your ears. Archery is 98% mental.
Okay, now, Rhonda, on another line, I know with... since we have talked a long time ago, have you got some individuals that you... Let's just take a little short break.
Okay.
We're about a little over halfway through the show. And come back, let's talk about some of the individuals that may have earned, and the Tuckasee teams, some of the honors they have earned since we have last talked. And we'll do that when we get back just in a minute.
All right, sounds good.
Macon Bank and Trust offers a new and better checking account with free e-checking. Enroll for e-statements to avoid a $6 monthly minimum balance charge and enjoy free ATM cash withdrawals at some ATMs across the nation. Free online banking and mobile banking with mobile deposit. Free online bill pay, MasterCard debit card, and 50 free checks at opening. Talk e-checks with us today. Macon Bank and Trust, member FDIC, and equal housing lender. Come grow with us. Third-party data or messaging fees may apply.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness. With a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists, they serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skilled, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
Tri-County Electric offers our member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by Serve.
If you are sick with COVID-19 or think you might have it, take steps to help protect other people from getting sick. Stay home except to get medical care. Call the doctor before visiting. Separate yourself from others who live with you. Wear a mask to protect others. Cover your coughs and sneezes with a tissue and clean your hands right away. Avoid sharing items with other people in your home. This includes things like towels and bedding. Be sure dishes are washed in hot water or the dishwasher before anyone else uses them. Stay aware of how you feel. If you start to have difficulty breathing, or if you're worried about your health, call your doctor. For more tips, visit cdc.gov.
Welcome back, everyone. You know, listening in the background, the folks that on Radio Land don't get to listen to, I know a little bit of conversation there and something. The Rhonda, before we talk about some of the winners, the age group of people that are in the Tuckasee organization.
Yeah, we
talk about that just
yeah,
a minute.
We,
from the youngest to the oldest.
I think my youngest
that you
is
actively work with.
I think our youngest right now is 5. We call those our peewees. Officially, they're not supposed to be competing until they're 6 years old. But if anybody knows me, you know that's my challenge. If you tell me it's not supposed to be. So we've actually got 4 and 5 year olds that we work with that we walk up front and we just cheer when we shoot the bow. And of course, most of our kids are fall in or school age kids, but then there's a whole lot of adults and a whole lot of families that end up and go out and shoot together. But one that we miss right now, and if you're listening, Doc Stone, we're ready for you to get back out. Doc Stone is one of our founding board members, and he loves archery as much as the rest of us. And since he's took off to Cookeville, we don't get to see him as much. So this is his call out to drag him back in.
Okay, let me ask you this. Do you ever have any meets or anything where there are combos, where there are adult contests going on in the same area, or is yours normally segregated to your age group?
No, actually, the majority of our stuff is any ages can come. And, for instance, a family will go this weekend. You can go, and a family can walk through and shoot together. Only very few of our segments are set for just kids. The majority of them are any of them.
Now with that, let's talk about some of the kids a little bit, Rhonda, since you've got your mental list all made out.
I'm trying. I didn't even get there. Okay, so we'll start with our high school divisions. Devin Brooks is probably our top high school boy open shooter. Devin's been with us since the beginning. He's one of the 6. When we started in October 2016, he was one of the 6 kids that we started with. He is a senior this year. State championship was a little different format, but he did quite well in it. I think he ended up 3rd in the previous tournament before it, but he held several state titles, quite a few national podiums. He's pretty good kid all the way around. We love our Devin. I think he is the only open I have right now. As far as Penn's boys, which is your bow hunter class, we've got Will Dotson from down there, who is fantastic. He is, when you're in the hunt, Will Dotson's always going to be there. Eli Rich is another one from Salina that has the potential. I've joked with some of these other coaches that if we could sign him as a freshman in high school, we would sign him. Open girls, Brinley Bartley, who has, I can't even tell you how many national titles and podiums that child has in state and regionals. Brinley's one, if she shows up, I'm not getting my bow out because she's going to wear everybody out around her. Middle school-wise, our middle school group is a little smaller. We've got enough for a team on all of them, but we haven't had as many in our middle school group lately. We've got Kason Deckard from Tompkinsville, Garrick Davis from Macon County. Then we've got Katie Elam, and then Hayden Adams. Both Katie and Hayden in the middle school divisions in the state championship came from the bottom seed. If you think about the NCAA tournament, they came from the bottom seed and defeated every person they walked up against and won the state championship. And Hayden actually shot for over an hour and 20 minutes. I thought his little arms were going to fall off. Came from the very bottom of the pack and won the state championship. Hank Emberton from Salina also won the state championship, coming from a lower seed. Trying to think. Lily Newberry, who I don't know if anybody remembers, with Josh Newberry, who was the Methodist preacher there. They've moved to McMinnville, but they drive back to Salina every week for practice. She won the state championship. Got some kids from Monticello, the Burnett boys. They are perennial all the way in the top. You've got Eli, Isaiah, and then now little Ezekiel, who came in our junior Eagle division, and they are powerhouses. We enjoy having them with us all the time. And I'm sure I'm forgetting somebody, but you can tell when the blue and orange walk in that there's going to be some hardware come home. And if you come over to the clubhouse, we're getting ready to have to move to our second wall. Our awards start on one wall and are going to have to wrap back to the second wall. From that was just from our team. Our team was the overall state champion for indoor season.
Now, do these people that come from other areas, do they come because there's no other place to go, or just for the notoriety of Tuckasee?
Actually, it's a little bit of both. We do, indoor-wise, have one of the top, I'm going to say top three, indoor facilities in the state of Tennessee, which I find is fantastic. That's sitting in Salina, Tennessee. Donaldson Park, I've told people over and over, I'll put it against any national level shoot facility that we go to, because it is fantastic and people love. We've got people that have bought farms and lake homes and houseboats that had never Clay County until they came to shoot for Tuckasee. So
you've drawn people to Clay County.
We actually did a survey a year and a half ago, and of all the unique shooters that had come, and we asked them, had you ever been to Clay County before you came to a Tuckasee shoot? And 80% had never been to Clay County before.
And you know, that park has been one of the hidden gems here for golly for years and years and years. And, you know, and at one time, you know, the Corps of Engineers did a tremendous job with it. I know when it was first built, I don't have any of the folks remember, but that was a full par course walking and exercise course down there with, I've forgotten now, maybe 12 or 14 exercise stations in there where you could walk over. It had, you know, basically, I don't know, rings hanging down. They had a place to do chin-ups. Just all kinds of exercise stations around it. But, you know, when they had the big cutback here with the Corps in this area, they kind of just turned it into, we're lucky they didn't try to turn it back and give it back to nature, which they did with so many places. But at that time, that was a well-known place to come and for the park course and for the boat launching down there and those types of things. But hopefully, you know, since the city of Salina now has control of that you know, there will now be a signage here, you know, directing people to Donaldson Park instead of just that, you know, that one sign hanging on the light pole there, right, to let folks know. But as Rhonda said, once they find out about the park, and hopefully that, you know, city of Salina, those of us here in Clay County can do a better job of letting folks know about this.
It's all about
this
marketing.
It's one of the most beautiful, beautiful places anywhere around where you can just walk by. Down by the Obi River, you can walk through some old growth timber, all those type things. And once folks see it, they do like to come back, don't they, Rhonda?
They do. And honestly, in that survey, we also ask, you know, how many times, because a lot of them come for indoor and 3D. And then we also ask, how much money do you spend? while you're here, and where do you spend it at? And that's what people, I think your restaurants in Salina can tell you when there's an archery tournament in, because you can't get the in anywhere. But it was almost $80,000 of documented spending that came from people just coming through those 10 events through the year. And, you know, gas stations and restaurants and convenience stores. I've got one lady that we rent all of her little cabins every time we have a group. We tell people where to rent at. And so we've got lots of places that we do. The economic impact that follows an archery event is astronomical, especially for a small town.
Okay. How many participants will you have at, say, the event that you're having this year down at the park?
Well, the one in March, we had 120 people that came. But a lot of times when you have those kids that come in too, then you got mama, daddy, sometimes granny, grandpa as well. But then the big ones, the state tournaments, will probably have 200 to 300 shooters that will be there, which estimated 400 to 600 people then will be visiting that weekend.
Well, you know, normally each one of those comes is going to bring at least two people with them. That's mom and dad.
Absolutely. And those state tournaments are usually 2-day events. So then you've got hotel rentals. I mean, we've got people right now, if you look for either one of those weekends, the rentals in that area right now are non-existent, because these people, we started encouraging them to book early. You can't get in any of the campgrounds. They're all completely booked up.
Well, you know, Rhonda, that's something that's been kicked around here, too. As these things like this increase and the demand increases, I think one of the things that is being looked at is an RV campground there inside the park at one of the places down there that at one time was planned for that. And I think there is maybe a couple of actual stations that are still in existence there today. So that's something that's... If that, you know, that demand comes and more folks want to use the park for things like that, that there is sometime in the not too distant future that there will probably be an RV campground there inside Donaldson Park.
There actually are two hookups right now, and I've actually stayed in. When we first put our targets in years ago, we would take a camper down there and stay, but the city's been fantastic to make sure everything got locked down good and tight for us, so, for security wise. So, yeah, there are two great stations there.
And I know, as you said, coming up for these events, what about the national events? Have you been working on that, Rhonda?
We actually just hosted the National Reinhardt 100. We actually held it in Waverly, Tennessee at the Buffalo Ridge TWRA site. And we had people from 17 different states that attended that event, and that's where, if you saw it on Facebook, that's where you saw the elephant and the giraffe target. It's just a shoot of a different type, but that's a national level tournament, and it's pretty cool. It was a neat experience for our kids to have. It was one long weekend. You shoot 100 targets, and your little arms feel like they're going to fall off. The next week at practice, the kids are like, "We can't even shoot," because they were so tired. Yeah. It's about 5 miles of hiking and 100 shots on top of it. So, but it was fun, and we're already looking about maybe some plans for that the next year.
Okay, and I do know, of course, I'm sitting here now looking at the Tuckasee Facebook site, and just looking through the pictures there, and you see the pictures of all the smiling faces, and one thing too, it jumps out to you when it is the groups of parents that are there. And I'm looking at one back here now where we've got, you know, the older kids working with the younger kids. I mean, this is something that a wholesome, enjoyable outdoor entertainment, exercise, you know, tough to see off.
We meet it all. We meet it all. That's what's really cool, and we've always joked that archery is a little different. We're a little weird bird, but. For instance, we had a kid from Knoxville whose rest went down in the middle of the state tournament, and we turned around to one of our other kids and took his rest apart and put our parts on that kid's bow, and that kid beat one of our kids, but, you know, that was the right thing for kids. We went to Cookeville for the 4-H shoot the other day, and some kid from, I don't even know where he was from, Levin and his bow got torn up in the process of checking them in. And Elijah Wheat from Macon County said, here's mine. And the other little boy walked out there and shot Elijah's bow and had his best score ever. And, you know, it's always really cool to watch the families come together and the teams come together, because our whole thing is we're about building kids and growing kids. And, you know, in the end, it's nice to put a plaque on the wall, but if we have made a difference in a kid's life, that's what's more important.
Can we ask you this? Well, what do you think, maybe, you know, once you get set up with some of these new targets with the tigers, the lions, and all this stuff, that one of the walkers down through the park there is going to report to call 911 and say there's a tiger loose down at Donaldson Park. What can I do?
Yeah, Miss Elsie Garrett used to fuss at me all the time. She said she never could tell when she came around the corner if there was going to be a coyote waiting for her. She'd come around the corner and there'd be one of our targets put on in there. So you come around and people enjoy what, and we were sitting there one time, had them laid out on the ground, and some lady came through and said, where did you get all these? And were they native to this area? I'm like, I don't think you're going to see any tapirs here from South America. But
well, now, are you using bear targets?
We do. There's a couple bears. In the old days when we used to shoot in Snowshoe Mountain, we always had trouble with our targets getting torn up by the bears would attack the target.
I guess the native bears were concerned about strangers moving into their territory.
Yeah, you would buy targets and they'd have big scratches down the side or have bites out of the foam. I guess they were in for a rude awakening when they got that one.
Now, do each one of these targets have like a bullseye on them?
Randy? Yeah, I forgot to read our birthday when we come back. Then I got all carried away here. But I think I'm going to do that right now before we get farther along. Celebrating a birthday today, we have a few today. Miss Bonnie Denton celebrated a birthday on the 5th, and this was called in by her Aunt Modell. And Paul Hale celebrating a birthday. Of course, there's a name from the past. Paul used to be the mechanic at Bert Heston's garage years ago, where all the folks and moms gathered around to talk politics and carrying on. And we'd like to wish him a very happy birthday. Randall Gass celebrated a birthday on the 1st. And I guess this next one probably may have been announced over in Tompkinsville, too. Mitchell and Flossie Pennington celebrating their 71st anniversary on the 7th. And also one of our better-known citizens here in Clay County, Miss Lola Jean Dillon, celebrate her 74th birthday on the 5th. And I'd like to also wish Sherry Barlow happy 44th anniversary on the 6th. So here in a few minutes, I guess I could just go ahead and do that while I'm here now and reach into my handy-dandy selection process here and come out with a number. And let's see, it looks like Sherry and Mike Barlow have won the birthday cake or the anniversary cake for them. So you can go over by the chamber and pick up that card, and you can go by and pick up your cake. I guess we've got that out of the way now. And as a little bit of a closure, Rhonda, anything that you want to, you know, particularly tell the folks and tell them what things that going on, what's going to be going on here in the next few minutes?
Absolutely. We would like, one of our favorite places to shoot, when we talk to them about why we want to shoot there, it's because the community opens up their arms and welcomes us, and that's Paris, Texas. And we would encourage everyone, businesses, just everybody, when we would drive through those towns and on the sign would be Welcome Archers or Welcome to Clay County or Archer Discount. Like there's one place that you get a free drink if you just tell them you're there or you wear your archery jersey. We would encourage everybody to get ready for, especially July. This next weekend's going to be a shoot. We'll probably have 100-110 people there. But the shoot's in July because it's going to be back-to-back weekends. We're going to fill town up. We would love to see everybody just kind of open up their doors and welcome everybody in and come out to the park and watch this go on. You can come through and you can walk down on the ranges and watch this. And you've got a lot of people there that we've got a couple people that actually make their living that'll be coming in there and shooting for score. And it's just a neat thing to do. Bring your family, bring yourself. just come enjoy it with us, and we'd love to have everybody come on out and check it out.
Okay, like I said, you do open the course up, and folks can walk around the course and look at all the targets and things that are there and kind of get a feel. And, you know, when you walk through there, you know, I know the first time that I walked through there when this first started, and I thought, I guess maybe the first little pathway that the core allowed you to cut through to where you get a clear shot at the targets and things. I thought maybe they were just doing a little cut across in the trail, but it's great
cool.
Just to walk through that and look at those targets and realize that the amount of skill that's involved for the participants, and then, you know, and look at the age group that's doing that. And look at the number of people that come to these things, the financial aid to all of our merchants and people here in Salina, in Clay County, to get the folks here. But now let's look about expansion, Rhonda. I know everyone likes this place, and I'm sure that you have been probably looking for a place somewhere, you know, across the state line. Are there some places over in Kentucky nearby that also offer this that you all work with?
Well, we actually used to have one over at Delhalla State Park. We had a fantastic place to have one there. The leadership at the park changed, and that kind of changed their direction. In the old days, I'm going to say old days is in the 80s, and that's old days for me, there was a active bow hunter group here in Monroe County, and they would have shoots at the city park, which had a fantastic range. That has since sold. It's always the evolution of just finding where we can safely set up a range that has the amenities that you need as far as having good parking and good walking trails.
I knew that in the past that you had had the one up at Delhalla Park, and I was kind of wondering, you know, that's what I was wondering about the status of, you know, if they were still doing that.
Yeah, no, we moved everything
like
to Salina.
Run out of time. Randy, we got a few more minutes before we have to sign off today. We've got, like I said, we've got some important things going on down here. I want to remind everyone about our baseball and softball tournaments. And another thing I'll leave you with just as we go is that we're getting, if you've been by the courthouse the past few days, you'll notice there have been 6 windows removed, and they have been taken up to a window restoration group up in Lexington, and they're restoring those windows. They will completely dismantle them, replace any woodwork that needs to be done, and return them to us. And it's not a cheap process. We've got a small grant that enables us to do those windows, and if you look around, we've got a whole bunch of them, and each one of those windows are going to cost us about $2,500 each to restore. And the little pit thing we'll pitch out at you, if you would like to be a donor to this, we're going to have a thing called an Adopt a Window program, where you can leave a donation down at the county mayor's office that'll be put in the fund to adopt one of those windows. And if you want a group, a business, or somebody that wants to adopt an entire window, we'll have a process where we will put a commemorative plaque plate on those windows in memory of a loved one or in honor of a company or whatever. So keep that in mind. And if a group of people would like to get together, families, a couple of families, and put together and adopt one of our windows here, we would really, really appreciate it. So this is going to be going on for probably more than just a couple of years to kind of get all these windows here in the old courthouse taken care of. And with that, I guess it's about time that we signed off. And we'd like to say that we really appreciate everyone listening. And this is our first effort at a totally remote show. And hopefully it's turned out pretty good. And hopefully you'll join us again here next Thursday morning at 9 a.m. for the Clay County Corner, when we will come to you. And I don't have to bid my guest adieu this morning or anything, but with that, I guess it's just time we said, may the good Lord bless and keep you until we meet you again, and hopefully we'll meet you again here on WVFB-FM 101.5 Kicks Country next Thursday morning. And don't forget that you can listen to us again this evening at 6 o'clock. And with that, good day, Clay County.
Thanks for being with us today for the Clay County Corner on Kicks Country. We thank all of our interesting guests, and we thank all of our fine sponsors. Our sponsors take pride in and care about our community. So when the need arises, make sure you visit them. or just give them a call and tell them thanks for sponsoring the Clay County Corner. So until next Thursday morning at 9, we hope you have a great week.